Did your mother recently marry a man whose past just doesn't seem to add up? Or maybe you were involved in an April Fool's Day prank, and 1 year later, the killer has come back, resurfaced, and is seeking revenge. That is all from The Stepfather and April Fool's Day, our next pairing on Movie Madness Season 1. Let's get started. Hello everybody, welcome back to the channel. Thank you for watching, thank you for being here. If this is your first time here, like this video, share it with your friends, subscribe to the channel if you are listening to this in the podcast feed. Leave us a review, leave us a rating, all of that good stuff. Get in touch with us, let us know what you like about the show, what you hate, what we can be doing differently. Now, as we stated in the intro, this is round number one, matchup numero dos. For the Movie Madness Season 1, we are talking about The Stepfather from 2009, directed by Nelson McCormick, versus April Fool's Day, a 2008 TV movie remake directed by the Butcher Brothers. That is correct. They go by the Butcher Brothers. Yeah, well, if you saw our first episode, we will talk briefly about both of these movies, and then we will get into the awards. If you didn't, go back. Go check that out. Our first episode was My Bloody Valentine 3D versus I Spit on Your Grave. Go see who won that matchup before continuing on with this one. The link is going to be right here. So check that out. So yeah, The Stepfather. The Stepfather and April Fool's Day. The Stepfather from 2009. Let's start there. So what is this movie about? So The Stepfather stars Dylan Walsh, Selah Ward, Penn Badgley, and Amber Heard. And obviously this is about a mother who went through a divorce, and she is moving on. She has found a new man. They've quickly been engaged after about 6 months. And Penn Badgley, who is kind of a troubled youth, returns home for the summer, only to kind of start to be suspicious of this new man, this man that will be his new stepfather. And possibly, you know, this guy's not who he says he is, as well as some other people in this life of hers who's kind of saying the same thing. This movie was made for a budget of $20 million and grossed roughly $31 million, so not a hit. This movie did probably not do gangbusters like they were expecting it to. This is based off of a 1987 movie of the same name starring Terry O'Quinn. That is a movie I love. I think that movie is fantastic. It's way more kind of brutal, way more psychological than this one. The remake really kind of, I don't want to say dumb, but it kind of, it's more of a wet noodle, you know? It's more of a teen movie, right? Like, this is, it's PG-13, which is, I think, a big problem with the movie. And it plays way more into, like, the idea of this being a slasher movie, and way less into the idea of it just being, like, this, you're basically just watching a serial killer, a psychopath, like, divulge back into madness until they kind of have created more problems for themselves, which will just lead to them having to kill this family and move on to the next one. That is kind of where that original film is. Like, that's where all the mystery, that's where all of the stuff, like, all of that is what that original film is. This is kind of like, we know from the beginning that this is, that he's a bad man, and he's kind of covering his tracks along the way, and it's just not as interesting. And there's plenty of moments in this movie where you're just like, you really don't have any questions about this? Like, you're totally fine with this? And it just seems like that original movie really tries to dive into Terry O'Quinn's psyche a lot more than this movie. This movie is not that interested. This movie seemingly is way more interested in showing a scantily dressed Amber Heard for most of the movie. And I don't know as though this movie does anything that interesting, especially like in the opening scene, which opens almost exactly the same way as the original film, in which he has killed this family and he is moving on. And then we cut to a scene in a police station that kind of lays everything out for you. That's like, oh, he's a man who is a serial killer who is moving from town to town, and he finds a new family in every town. He pays cash, and we can't ID the man. It's like, I think something like that works in 1987 because, you know, you had people like the Unabomber. You know, you have these kinds of people that are living off the grid, that don't want to be involved in society. And it's a lot easier to do that in 1987. You know, paying cash for everything was not that uncommon. Having fake names and all this shit would be so much easier to accomplish. Fast forward to 2009, and you're telling me that, like, this man has been able to, like, change jobs, like, all these, like, every single place he goes, he's able to find somebody willing to pay him under the table, and, like, all these things that just are so convenient, where it's, like, it's so hard to not have yourself out there on the internet, you know? Like, something like that, like, you know, there's a big thing in the movie about he doesn't like his picture taken, and, like, in the original film, it wouldn't matter if his picture was taken, because, like, you'd have to go get it developed, and, like, there's just so, like, modern technology kind of makes the whole idea behind this movie impossible, you know? Like, it, you couldn't do it. And if you wanted to try, I think you have to go the route that the 1987 film takes, which is, it's gotta be about this man. It's gotta be about him living this lie, trying to make sure that the people around him believe this lie, and it's slowly unraveling, and it's slowly, like, because of his actions, it crumbles around him. And that's not really what takes place in this movie. It really is more like Penn Badgley is kind of suspicious from the beginning, and he has no reason to be. Like, Amber Heard many times points out, like, all of, like, the, these are just a lot of really weird coincidences, but they don't mean anything. And I don't buy a lot of the things you have to buy in this movie. Like, him not wanting to provide his W-2 information, him not even wanting to provide his social security card or driver's license when he gets hired at a real estate firm that is owned by this woman's friend. And then when she brings it up to him, he's like, don't you think that's kind of weird? That's kind of weird, right? And then she's just like, why don't you want me to be happy? It's like, no. And obviously, it all gets revealed, and that he's a really bad, scummy guy, and all this. And they gotta have this showdown in the house. That eventually leads to the good old Michael Myers. Where did he go? And now, April Fool's Day, directed by the Butcher Brothers, with stars Scout Taylor Thompson, which are Scout Taylor Compton. There we go. Who is from Halloween 1 and 2, the Rob Zombie remakes. I think she's really good in that. And I think she's awful here. Are you a Peacock subscriber? This is not an ad. I think this is kind of like setting things up for you. Have you ever been watching a Peacock movie? Like a movie on Peacock. Let's say you want to watch That Awkward Moment with Zac Efron. And you watch that, but then you fall asleep. And you wake up sometime in the middle of the night, and for whatever reason, whenever a movie on Peacock ends, you have like 180 seconds, and still it just plays the next movie. And usually, that next movie is like some weird, made-for-TV, incredibly low-budget piece of shit. And that's kind of what April Fool's Day is. That is kind of what this movie is. That's what it feels like. It feels really cheap. The acting is terrible. All of the production stuff is awful. Like, this is a made-for-TV movie. So, like, I'm not going to be super harsh on it. Obviously, these people are working with what they have. But this feels like a soap opera. This feels like daytime television. This feels like an episode of General Hospital. All the way down to like the weird twists and turns and setting everything up, it feels like an episode of Days of Our Lives. And it's awful. And I don't like it. And I don't have many nice things to say about it. So I probably am not going to say much. With that being said, I'm not crazy about the original movie. The original movie, it's fine. I guess, like, the conceit of, like, oh, it's April Fool's. Like, it's kind of like a slasher, but in the end, we kind of, like, haha, we got you, surprise. And, like, I don't find that satisfying. I don't find that interesting. I think a reveal like that makes it so that you can never watch that movie again. Like, there won't ever be any stakes. And I think this remake tries to subvert that a little bit, because in that original film, it is very much like, oh, see, I like pulling pranks. Haha, I tricked you. There's no real, like, I don't want to say reason, but there is no, like, grand plot working in the background that results in all of the tricking, whereas that is what this remake is, which I think, in terms of just a general premise, general conceit, I like the idea that, like, these super rich teenagers, basically, like, young adults, people in their 20s, like, this woman accidentally dies, and that kind of creates, you know, this sort of PR nightmare for this really rich family, and kind of, like, puts the brother and sister kind of pitted against each other into, like, who will be able to control the who will become the heir to the fortune, so to speak, right? Because, like, if you have all these legal troubles, like, maybe you don't give it to that person, maybe it goes to the other person, and then they all kind of get, everyone involved that night gets this message to report to the grave of the woman who died. And they all are like, I have proof. One of you must come forward and confess, or I will leak the proof. And it's all just one big elaborate ruse, like in the original, but more with more intent behind it, more with a purpose. And I like that. There's a reveal at the end that makes it be like, this is why we did all of this. It wasn't just like, haha, gotcha. It's more like, there's something to gain. There's something for somebody to gain from all of this taking place. I like that way more than it just being a series of pranks. Just because. Unless I'm missing something about that original movie. Which is possible. It's been a while since I've seen it. So, maybe I'm missing something. But I do like giving motive. I think that works. I think that makes the movie better. How much better? Mileage will vary on that, let's say. I still can't recommend anybody ever watch this movie. But that is enough about these two movies. Let's get into some awards. Now, if you didn't see our last episode, again, link is right here. Go watch it. Go watch our first matchup. There are 7 categories in which a winner will be awarded. The movie that wins the most amount of categories will win. And we'll move on to the next round. And I know what you're thinking, that this is going to be a clean sweep, that, you know, I didn't say anything really nice about April Fool's Day. The stepfather's just going to come in and roll through all these awards and just move right into the next round. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is not true. So our first category, we have Best Scene. What is the best scene? Now, there is one that I think could be there, right? That could be there for April Fool's Day, but it's a winner in another category, and I didn't want to win 2 categories for the exact same scene. So I do think that the best scene of this movie is the overall climax of the stepfather. And, you know, here were some things that I was considering. There's the opening of the stepfather where he's kind of getting ready on Christmas morning, and all of his family members are dead. And he's, like, walking around. He has coffee. You know, there's a Christmas tree up. And all his the mother and the children are dead. And I think that's a really creepy, like, but awesome cold open. The problem being, like, I don't really know how he killed them. Because, like, there's no blood. They're just kind of, like, laying there. It looks like they were directed to be, like, just look asleep. Just look asleep. And while I really like the idea and I like kind of what's at the core of that scene, I don't know as though it's executed very well. I do like the prank sequence from the opening of April Fool's Day. I think, again, it's one of those that, like, I like the general conceit and I like the concept of that scene. I'm not certain that it's really executed that well. And then the sneaking around the house, Penn Badgley and Amber Heard, classic scene in a movie like this where they're trying to get proof that he is not who he says he is, and obviously something happens, and he comes home earlier than he should, and oh my goodness, what are they gonna do? And classic hijinks ensue, but I do think very suspenseful, very well seen. I have absolutely no clue how they got out of the situation that they were in, but hey, it's movies, you know? That thing happens from time to time. But the winner, the award goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
The climax of The Stepfather, but mainly just like the mother runs upstairs, she traps herself in the bathroom, she has like a shard of glass that she sticks into his throat, and kind of everything from there onward is what I think the award is for. So it's just, you know, it's what you're here for. It's what you know is coming. I do like them running into the attic, even though I think it makes absolutely no sense. And them have kind of like, oh, setting this whole thing up of, we've been working on the attic. You know, don't go up there. It's too dangerous. And then them falling through, and that stuff works for me. I think it's cheap. I think it's lazy, but it still works for me. So that, I think, is the best scene from either of these two movies. Moving on. The next category, best acting. Who was the best actor from these two movies? And I'm going to be honest with you, I only considered one individual. There's only one person that I was like, this person is the best actor. And it's Dylan Walsh, who plays David Harris in The Stepfather. No one comes close to him. This man is operating on a different playing field because he's just hamming it up. He's having a great time playing this guy. And, you know, there's some really good moments of him, like internally, like, freaking out and, like just being really mad and aggressive. And then a child will show up and he'll be like, oh, hello, hi, how's it, like, has to reel it all back. I think he does a good job at being, like, creepy, but at the same time, he can kind of, like, play that sinister, like, I said something, and you heard what I said, but do you actually know what I mean by what I said? And, like, he does that stuff really well. Again, like, I think, like, the most comparable movie I have to a movie like this is Disturbia, which would come out 2 years prior to this. And that this movie feels almost exactly like that movie, except instead of a stepfather, it's the next door neighbor. And it's crazy how much these two movies have in common. They have like almost the exact same structure. They have almost the like exact same everything, except minus a great performance from Shia LaBeouf. But yeah, Dylan Walsh, hands down, the best actor from these two movies. Moving on. The Eye Roll Award. The award that we probably will have to think of a new name for because it's very misleading and doesn't mean at all what you think it means. This is the award for best writing. The award where the film that made me roll my eyes the least amount of times is going to win. And I gotta be honest here. This was a toss-up. I think... But when I look at it, because I think both of these movies are not very good. But when you look at it, right, when you boil it down, what really is my problem with April Fool's Day? Well, it's the acting. It's the production side of things. It doesn't look very good. It's a very ugly movie. None of that has to do with writing. And so the winner of the Eye Roll Award...
And the Oscar goes to...
...is April Fool's Day. I have so many eye roll moments from The Stepfather, and while I think it is a much better crafted movie, when you look at this movie on paper, I don't know as though it makes that much sense. I don't know how you like plan to get married without providing any kind of social security, or as someone who has been married within the last year, a lot of official government paperwork you gotta fill out. And so just the general idea that he's going to get married to somebody without having to provide any of this information is stupid. It does not make any sense. And this idea that, like, he can just keep killing people, which Terry O'Quinn does not do in the original. He kills one person, the therapist, but that's because it's entirely not even related to the family. It's something else entirely. And so, like, in this movie, David Harris just like is like knocking off person after person who is suspicious of him, and they have no real concrete proof of anything. And he's just like, "I'm gonna kill him," and like I think that doesn't make any sense. Like, it seems like the most perfect way to just blow your cover by killing the old lady across the street. what are you doing? She makes a comment about him looking like this criminal that she saw in America's Most Wanted. And then the woman that he's marrying, the girlfriend, the fiance, shrugs it off. And it's like, huh, what a silly old lady. You know, she doesn't even believe it. And he decides to kill her anyways. That's so stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And so for things like that, I cannot possibly give this award to the stepfather. It's going to April Fool's Day. Because I don't think my issues with that movie have anything to do with the writing. I think it's a perfectly conceived movie. Yeah, it's ripping off things like I Know What You Did Last Summer and various things of that nature. But I like the conceit. I just don't know as though they had the talent or the money to really pull off what they were doing. And that is of no fault of any scriptwriter. They have no control over that. So, best writing goes to April Fool's Day. The Best Kill Award. This is a horror-specific award in which we are giving it out to the best kill. And I think there's some good ones. You know, I do, as much as I don't think they make sense plot-wise within the movie, I do like David Harris killing the old lady, throwing her down the stairs and suffocating her. It's a pretty good scene. I do like him, like, drowning the friend in her own pool. It's a pretty good scene. But hands down, the best kill in any of these two movies that is so absurd and so ridiculous that I laughed out loud and just, I had to see it again. I couldn't believe my eyes when it was happening on screen. And this would be the accidental shooting in the head of Desiree in April Fool's Day. So, to set the scene, what is taking place? So, it's at the M, and everything is being revealed, and the motives are being revealed, and they want to pin that prank murder on Desiree so that her brother can receive the full heir to the fortune, right? That's basically the plan. And they're holding her at gunpoint after she kind of confesses everything, and it's like, oh my god, I did, yeah, that was me. And Scout Taylor Compton is holding a gun at her, and she thinks she has blanks in the gun. Or, you know, they fire off one that is blank, but there is one bullet in there. One bullet. And she fires it again, trying to prove that there's blanks, and it shoots her in the head and she dies. That's insane. It is crazy that that happens in this movie. Like, just blood shoots off the top of her head. The top of her head is gone. It's fucking wild. What a ridiculous thing to take place. And then the movie ends with her brother driving away in her car with like a smirk on his face, which just leads you to believe that the whole thing was planned this way. And that makes it even crazier. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely ridiculous and stupid, but it's still the one that I can remember the most vividly from these two movies. And so, yeah, hands down, you win. That is the winner, without a doubt. Congratulations to April Fool's Day. You completely subverted my expectations and gave me one of the craziest off-the-wall bananas kills that doesn't need to be in the movie, but is. So, hats off to you. The next category, we have Best Villain. Obviously, you know, when we talk about Jason or Freddy or Michael Myers, like all those people that are going to show up in this tournament, the slasher icons, so to speak. You know, it's a lot easier to think about villains in that sense. But, you know, their villains are not always going to be these supernatural figures. Sometimes you have the mysterious person who sends you a message to all meet at the grave. Sometimes you have a serial killer posing to be your next stepfather. That's what we're going to have sometimes in this tournament. Sometimes it's just going to be an evil spirit within the house. But that doesn't mean we don't have to choose the best villain. And I think the best villain in either of these two movies is the one whose perspective we see the most. It's Dylan Harris. It is the stepfather. And this award goes to him. Because I think I like the movie being mostly in his perspective. I like seeing him react to all these things happening around him. I like him trying to keep his cover. Best villain. Best villain goes to the stepfather. And they have taken the lead 3-2 if you are counting in these categories. For our final two awards, we have the Breath of Fresh Air Awards. Which one of these movies does what I would like to see a remake do? Which one of these breathes fresh new life into the franchise movie that it is remaking? Which one of these makes me the most excited for any kind of future installments going forward? That's tough. I also don't know if it's that fair. I don't think April Fool's Day really gives you much of a hint that there's anything to come. I don't think this is a movie that, like, people really want revitalized. I don't, like, and I, while I like what the remake is doing, I like kind of how it's taking that original concept of, like, all these prank killings and kind of, like, making them have a purpose and making, like, giving that kind of twist on it, bring it into the modern day where it's kind of like, oh, man, like, yeah, this sort of scenario that's set up of these super wealthy trust fund kids, like, battling for daddy's money. Like, I like that. And I think that's a good way to update a movie like April Fool's Day. Unfortunately, the award goes to The Stepfather. Because while I don't think this is that, I also don't think that the end of April Fool's Day kind of leads you to believe that there's anything coming next. The final scene of The Stepfather is why it wins this award. Because we have the ending where we have David is now working at a hardware store where he meets another woman with two young boys. And we kind of get this idea that this cycle is just going to be restarted again. And I actually would have liked to see another movie. Because I do really enjoy Dylan Walsh's performance. I wouldn't mind seeing another Stepfather movie. And you can just see how it happens. Like, because this happens with this new family. Because the original film from 1987 has two sequels. And Terry O'Quinn reprises his role for both sequels. So I wouldn't mind getting them back together. Getting Dylan Walsh back to play this character for another Stepfather movie. And just kind of, you know, set it somewhere completely different. Let there be new things that are, like, seeing it with, like, with young kids, I think would be interesting, because you wouldn't necessarily have people snooping around. Young kids would not be very suspicious of you, and just let it be somebody else who becomes suspicious of him. And, you know, I would be fine. I would be fine giving this franchise another shot. Now, because The Stepfather didn't really make that much money and it wasn't that successful, that's why we didn't get any more. But as far as doing what a remake should do, I'm fine, like, how it kind of brings things back, revitalizes it. It does a very good job at recasting that lead stepfather character, which you need, and I would be fine seeing more movies where it's just them killing people who are trying to figure out who they are. And lastly, which of these movies am I most likely to watch again? And if you've made it all the way to the end here, you know, A, The Stepfather has already won 4 of the categories, so it is the winner, it is moving on. But given how little positive things I have said about April Fool's Day, it's probably easy to guess that that is not the one I'm going to revisit anytime soon, or ever again. I have retired both of them, this movie, the remake, and the original. I probably don't have a need to revisit either of them ever again. So the movie that I am most likely to revisit is The Stepfather. You know, I have a stepfather of my own, and as you get closer and closer to Father's Day, maybe this is a movie you want to throw on, and just be like, oh, yeah, that's good. And unfortunately, it's just going to make me think about Disturbia, and then I'm just going to want to watch Disturbia again, which is a much better movie than this. But still, the award goes to The Stepfather. They win out their matchup 5-2 against April Fool's Day, and they will be moving on. Let's see what they have in store. So now you have your round 2 matchup. You have My Bloody Valentine versus The Stepfather. It's anybody's ball game here, folks. And that is all I have for you today. So thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. I hope you are enjoying the madness. Let me know what you think about these films down in the comments below. Do you like The Stepfather? Have you seen these original movies? What about April Fool's Day? maybe these are movies you haven't seen and you need to go check them out. Probably skip April Fool's Day, but at least give The Stepfather a poke. Maybe it is a movie that you will enjoy. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Like this video. Share it with your friends. Subscribe to the channel if you're listening to this in the podcast feed. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you like, what you dislike, what we can be doing better. As always, I am your host, Zach. We can continue the conversation down in the comments below. I want to know what you think about this episode and what you think about the madness so far. And until next time, keep enjoying good movies. Keep loving what you love. Stay safe out there. Goodbye, everybody.